The story you're about to hear is true, but strange.
There, Albert. Did you read that? There were four aboard the Tourmaline who saw the ship. And not just four aboard the Tourmaline, Albert. Five saw it on the Cleopatra. And there were four of us on this ship that got a good look. 13 all told, eh, Mr. Pyle?
I was hoping I could blame it on the brandy we drank in the wardroom last night. The evidence seems all to the contrary. Every man questioned seems all too positive that he saw the brig. And every description of the ship tallies. I'm afraid we've witnessed the impossible, gentlemen. What we saw was the Flying Dutchman, a ghost ship.
Isn't there some kind of superstition about the appearance of a ghost ship, Mr. Pyle?
There is, lad. Its appearance is supposed to be followed by sudden death.
ABC Radio Network presents Strange. True stories of the supernatural, with your narrator, famous author, lecturer, and expert on strange and weird events, Walter Gibson.
Thank you, Charles Woods. Do you remember how Rudyard Kipling wrote, "The Indian Ocean sets and smiles, so soft, so bright, so bloomin' blue. There aren't a wave for miles and miles, except the jiggle from the screw." It was exactly such a sea that a squadron of British warships sailed into the dusk, then into the night. They were the Bacchante, the Tourmaline, and the Cleopatra. It was July 11, 1881. 4 a.m., a steward has just brought tea to Junior Lieutenant Pyle, officer of the watch, and the cadet midshipman standing with him. Suddenly, there is a cry from the lookout on the masthead.
Sail ho! She's a brig running close to the port bow!
Mr. Pyle and George, the midshipman, didn't need a pair of night glasses to spot the ship.
Is she afire, sir?
Well, she certainly glows red. She's heading mighty close.
At second glance, she appears just a brig sailing through a strange red light.
It's an unearthly sight at best. Could it be an illusion?
I see it. The lookout saw it. And if you see it, too...
Well, apparently the Tourmaline and the Cleopatra caught sight as well. There go the signal lights.
Aye. They apparently feel the brig is going to run us down.
Well, I'd think as much myself if she were making any headway. Have you noticed? Have you noticed she keeps the same position even though we're moving along at 8 knots?
Well, then, what do you make of it?
I'm afraid there's only one explanation, George.
The Flying Dutchman?
Aye. Although I'd never believe it if I wasn't staring at it with my own two eyes and had witnesses to boot.
It's a sight I'd never hope to see. If you'll excuse me, sir.
Want to dash below and spread the word?
I'd like to wake my brother Albert, if you don't mind. At least share the experience with him.
I'll go along with you, then. But don't trouble to wake the skipper.
You don't think it ought to be reported?
Wake him to report the Flying Dutchman? He'd rip off my stripes with his own teeth.
No general alarm was given. Only the officers and seamen of the watch continued to observe the unearthly vision that hovered just ahead of them. But George, the cadet midshipman, could not resist sharing the experience with his brother Albert, who was sleeping below. George hadn't anticipated an argument, however.
Albert! Wake up! Are you stirring?
I'm afraid so. Oh, George, is it my watch already? It doesn't seem more than 3 minutes that I dropped off to sleep.
It's not a change of watch, old boy. Just something on deck I thought you'd want to see.
Oh, come now. Absolutely nothing could be worth the loss of sleep.
This is. It's the Flying Dutchman, Albert. You really don't want to miss it.
Have you gone absolutely stark raving
mad? It's the real thing, so help me. Now, come on and see.
George, old boy, you've been a lovely brother and all that, but this is your notion of a practical joke.
Now, come and see. Come and see. If it's not what I say it is, I'll... Oh, well, never mind. You can't afford to miss it, that's all. And the thing's too awesome for description.
Oh, very well, I'll come along. But I'd better hear the rattle of the skeletons aboard, or I'll speak to the skipper about having you tossed in the hold.
But Albert's lack of enthusiasm cost him a look at the spectacle. George led him up to the port bow just as...
Well, where is the ruddy thing?
She's faded from view.
Sir?
This was not a practical joke, Albert. Believe me, it wasn't. I saw her standing out there myself in a blaze of red light. She was a brig. The sails and mast stood out clear as anything. Yet somehow you could see right through her.
Well, I'll have to think of some ghastly punishment to plague you with, old boy. No matter how ghastly, it couldn't possibly compensate for my loss of sleep.
You still don't believe me?
No.
Would you believe the officer of the watch? Mr. Pyle is hardly noted for his practical jokes. Or the lookout, Stokes, that was. Could you accuse him of playing a practical joke on you?
Oh, I'm too infernally sleepy to care.
Well, just come awake if you don't mind. I'll have this proved to you that it's the last thing I do. Now follow along to the quarterdeck and stand quietly listening while I put a question to Mr. Pyle.
Hello, gentlemen.
Sir, we have a doubter in our midst.
I can't say as I blame him. Hold on a bit, will you? You're getting a tally on the blinker from the OW of the Tourmaline.
There, Albert. Did you read that? There were four aboard the Tourmaline that saw the ship.
Yes, four aboard the Tourmaline. Five saw it on the Cleopatra. There were four of us on this ship. Who got a good look?
13 all told.
Well, I was hoping I could blame it on the brandy we drank in the wardroom last night, but the evidence seems all to the contrary. Every man questioned is all too positive that he saw the brig. And every description of the ship tallies. But I'm afraid we've witnessed the impossible, gentlemen. What we saw was the Flying Dutchman. A ghost ship.
And isn't there some kind of superstition about the appearance of a ghost ship, Mr. Pyle?
There is, lad. Its appearance is supposed to be followed by sudden death.
But do seamen of these times still believe that?
I'm afraid they do. They'll believe it even more when word gets about the ship was seen by 13 men. And don't ask me if it isn't possible to keep the thing quiet. Seeing a ghost ship is too good a story not to be shared. You yourself can attest to that, George.
Yes, sir.
So, there you have it. Well, I can only hope that the poor blighter who's marked to die will go quick and easy.
After the third watch had reported in that morning, the shipboard routine appeared to carry on in normal fashion. The deck was being swabbed down by a line of lusty seamen, while another crew polished brass on the quarterdeck. But underneath the routine was running an undercurrent of excitement, even apprehension. Albert, who had stood the second watch, stopped by the foremast for a word with the lookout, who was preparing to go aloft.
Oh, I say.
Yeah?
You're the lad who first discovered the Dutchman last night?
Aye, sir.
What's your name?
Stokes, sir. Ordinary Seaman Stokes.
Now, you're quite certain in your own mind that the thing was a ghost ship.
Oh, heaven, sir. A living ship aglow with that red a light would have to be showing flames.
But was there nothing else about her?
Well, it seemed to be sailing along before a spanking breeze. And of course, there was never a breath stirring in the air.
I see. And you also had the feeling that you could see through her? Is that what I understand?
No, sir. She was a ghost ship, well enough. And there's not a doubt of it amongst the lads in the forecastle. There's even some as claim they've never seen one before, and they claim it never fails. When the Dutchman shows up, somebody aboard is about to cash in his chips.
Phil, all right. Get aloft with you. But try not to sight another one today, will you?
If I do, sir, I'll look the other way.
Albert stood and watched the young seaman as he scrambled up the line, noting that he seemed handy about it. A little too much so, if anything. A moment later, his brother George joined him.
Well, the word's gotten around. Quick enough.
Yes, sir, I've just heard. Lad going aloft has apparently passed the word about.
Still don't believe it, old boy?
When 13 men aboard three ships all report the same sight and the same description, I've got to bow my head. But I'm dashed if I'll swallow that senseless superstition that goes with it. I'll lay you $5 we get through the day without a casualty.
Well, that's a rum bet. If I took you, I'd be asking for some kind of accident to turn up.
Well, this is the way I feel about it anyway. I say up there. Have a care with the footwork.
It's all right, sir. I've been up there before.
You'll be up for the last time if you don't.
Blimey!
Hang on, man. Grab the line above your head.
I can't hold her. I've got
her. Don't let go, Joe. Oh.
There was no use for the surgeon. Ordinary Seaman Stokes had been killed instantly by his fall from the foremast yardarm. The old superstition had been proven, even to the doubting Albert. The ghost ship, appearing, meant that a man aboard would die, and a man was now dead. When such incidents occur, superstition is hard to quell. Many years later, the younger of the two brothers, George, met once again with a man who had been officer of the watch on that memorable night. It was the first thing mentioned between the two.
I wonder if you recall, Captain Pyle, a night in the Indian Ocean when the two of us watched a phantom ship sail across our bow.
Recall it? I've seen that ship again on many a sleepless night, Your Majesty. May I never see another one like it.
Yes, the young midshipman who was one of the 13 to observe the ghost ship and who recorded a detailed description of the incident in his diary later became George V, England's well-loved sailor king.
Walter Gibson, your expert on the supernatural. Stories of ghosts, of spirits, werewolves, and voodoo. And each story you hear is true, but strange. Strange with Walter Gibson as your expert was directed by Drex Hines. In the cast were Leon Janney and Lawson Zerbe. This is Charles Wood speaking.